Let's have a round of applause for all of these people who will not sleep for the next 4 months. Now, as was mentioned earlier in the audience, 1,500 members of our business community, leaders in our business community, and many of Minnesota Chamber's members are small businesses. They have fewer than 100 employees, and they're trying to get their businesses started. They're trying to keep them going. And to just start off, I want 30 seconds from each of you about your perspective on what you think of the state of the Minnesota economy. You can judge it by, well, we've got very low unemployment. Sometimes that can mask some other problems. The stock market, as we all know, has been down, had a miserable year last year. I want each of you just to give me 30 seconds so we have a frame of reference about your perspective on where the Minnesota economy is right now. And I will start with Speaker Hortman.
Well, thank you very much for having us here. I just want to note that there's a lot of history on the stage tonight with the first female leader of the Senate DFL Majority Caucus, and the first woman of color, and the first woman to lead the House GOP, and the first time that Senator Mark Johnson serves as the token male in the leadership panel. So.
Thank you.
I'm glad I could be up here to lend you some support.
Minnesota is, as you all know, financially strong. Going into COVID, we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know if the economy would come to a screeching halt. We know that there's many people who couldn't go to work during COVID because they didn't have the kind of jobs who could allow that. Our grocery store workers, our firefighters, just a couple of examples. But so many of us were able to transition to working remotely. So now here we are with a really outstanding state surplus, but we have been underinvesting in recent years. So I think what you'll see us paying attention to is investing in education, making childcare more affordable. And like you said, Tom, having a low unemployment rate, it sounds good, but it also presents other problems. So I think what we have to look at is getting our labor workforce participation back up to 70%. It's down at 67%. How do we get folks off the sideline? We make childcare more affordable, and we go into those communities where unemployment is still too high, and we try to get those folks into the jobs that we have.
And we are going to talk more about workforce development in just a moment. Representative Damuth, your thoughts on what the state of the economy is right now in Minnesota.
And thank you, Tom. It's good to be here and good to be with all of you this evening. Minnesota is a place that we want people to choose to be. We want them to be able to be successful both in business, in family, in education, and in so many ways. We do have a low unemployment rate, but we have to figure out and find solutions to why people have left the workforce, why they haven't returned. What are the barriers, and how can we best meet them? We have to identify those things, provide the education that's needed. As a business owner, and a business that is facing a workforce shortage, identifying the barriers in our area. Sometimes it's housing, it is childcare, and meeting those needs and making that a little bit better place to be is where we want to be. But Minnesota is a place we want people to settle in and be effective and successful in.
All right, thank you, Representative Damuth. Senator Johnson, your view of the economy in Minnesota.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you, everybody, for making it through the snow and the cold today to be here tonight. I was shocked that there's this many people, and nobody has snowshoes with them, so I don't know how you got here today. So thank you for that. So if you look at the state of the Minnesota economy, I mean, you look at the assets and the liabilities of the state. Right now, we've got low unemployment, which is a great measure for how our economy is doing. But the participation rate, as Speaker Hortman said, is low. How do we get people back into the workforce that maybe dropped off during the last few years? You know, what are we doing with regulations in this state? What are we doing with taxes in this state? I think over the last few years, we've seen a disturbing trend coming from those across the aisle from us right now, and interest in figuring out ways to tax more, regulate more, driving businesses and individuals out of this state. And that is no way to be growing the economy. So I'm concerned about that. That's something on the horizon here, our liabilities, our risk profile in this state that we've really got to correct quickly before it's too late.
Senator Dziczek.
Thank you. And thank you all. This is, as Senator Johnson said, this is a great crowd, and it's amazing seeing all the snow out there. So thank you for inviting me, and thank you all for being here. We do have a very diverse economy, and I think that is very helpful. But there are those pockets of people that still are unemployed. I represent an urban district, and there are pockets where Black men still have a lot of unemployment. So how do we connect them with the jobs so that we can get them and keep them in the workforce and then help businesses? Senator Johnson mentioned people are leaving. The largest group that is leaving is those kids leaving to college. They're going someplace else to college, and then they're not coming back. So how do we keep them here, either in college or get them coming back? And what have I heard from businesses, I sat on the housing committee for the last 6 years, and businesses across the state are telling us they can bring they have jobs for employees, but there's no housing for the employees. And then when they come, they can't find childcare. So how do we look at childcare and housing, and what are some of those other barriers that businesses and communities need to thrive across the state?
All right, thank you all for those responses. I want you each to tell me, and I'm going to start with you, Senator Johnson, what is one thing you would do if you had a magic wand, and you don't as a Senate Minority Leader, sadly.
Ouch.
Well, in fairness, she doesn't have a magic wand either, do you? Well, you might. I don't know. What is the one thing you would do to significantly grow Minnesota's workforce? What one single thing?
So the one single thing I would do is making sure that we are investing in Minnesota workforce right now. We've got great programs like Hard Hat, Veterans Hard Hat. It's a veterans program, getting them back into the workforce. I think looking at issues like that, but the reality is we can't spend our way into a larger percentage of workforce coming back to the state. We've got to figure out market solutions. That's what this room is full of. And I'm excited to listen to those folks in this room that are creating jobs. And I'm not talking about Democrats creating bureaucratic jobs. I'm talking private sector jobs. And we got to make sure that we're figuring out what they need in their district.
Senator Dietzick, one single thing.
Coming from the Housing Committee, I've said for the last few years, when during the pandemic, people told us to stay home. If you don't have a home, how do you stay home? And housing is so basic. Stable housing impacts education, it impacts health, and it impacts jobs. It impacts people being able to get to a job and living stably so that they can get up and go to work every day. So I would make sure that we have affordable, good housing across the state.
Speaker Hortman.
Affordable child care.
Affordable child care.
Post-secondary education, making sure our kids know the options that are out there as they're getting ready to graduate from college, whether it's university, trade, or going directly into the workforce.
Now, I was a little surprised that no one, especially you or you, said paid family and medical leave, but I only gave you one. I'm sure it's among the menu of things. Let's talk about that just real briefly. Paid medical leave, and we're going to hear more about it tomorrow at the state capitol. Why do you think that is so important, and how will it be paid for?
Well, when you ask me why do I think it's so important, I would ask the Fortune 500 companies in this room, why do you think it's so important? You have to have it to attract talent. People do not want to be in a workplace where they have to worry about losing their job when they need to take care of a loved one, whether it's a child or a parent or themselves. So our top companies offer this benefit because it's a talent attractor. You know, I was talking to the speaker in Washington, and they enacted paid family medical leave a few years ago when they got a Democratic trifecta. And they said, you know, the population is kind of asking us, why didn't you do this sooner? It just makes so much sense.
And Representative Damuth, it does make sense on many levels. The question is, who pays for it? If this were to happen, who do you think should pay for it?
I am concerned that there would be a mandate on our businesses that would be unaffordable, and it could cause businesses to possibly shut down and to make their product that they're providing more expensive to all Minnesotans. I would support an area of creativity that is not a mandate, but there could be a benefit, maybe a tax benefit, to companies that are able to do this and want to provide that for their employees.
Senator Dietzick.
I hear from a lot of my small businesses that they do want to be able to offer some type of paid family and medical leave because they want to compete. So I do agree with Speaker Hortman that it is a retention and recruitment tool. And I think we have this $12 billion one-time money that can help us. There's a lot of creative people in this room. There's a lot of creative people over at Department of Revenue and in the state agencies that can maybe figure out how we can make this work to help the most people.
Senator Johnson, you could start paid family leave with this one-time money that we have, but the ongoing expense could be taxes on workers and employers, or do you think there should just be incentives for more employers to offer this?
Yeah, so the Senate over the last couple of years has put together a bill. Julia Coleman, Senator Coleman, put that out last year again, a private market solution to this. Listen, right, I got some oohs when I said DFL hiring bureaucrats, but the reality is this is 400 new jobs for an agency to take payroll taxes out of your employees and your bottom line to create that. What the Senate proposed was a private market insurance type product that would be able to be used for companies that chose to offer that to their employees, which would allow businesses that are profitable, that are able to afford that, to offer that as an incentive come and work for them, another workforce type solution to bring people into your business.
All right, one last topic before we get to our lightning round. You heard the governor and Doug Loon, and Doug came back to it seven times, the streamlining regulations. Let's talk about it one more time from all of your perspectives. Is it time to streamline these regulations where it makes sense?
Well, it's funny because this is a topic that I worked on back in 2009, 2010 during the Pawlenty administration. And we did a deep dive on permitting at that point. Most of the permitting that happens at the city and county level. It is largely a local government decision. And largely the problem that with taking so long is not having enough staff. We also find, though, that it's important for businesses when they're seeking a permit to go get that public comment and that public input early. So certainly businesses should get an answer from the government, yes or no. If it's a yes, go ahead, or if it's a no-go, the faster that we can give that answer, the better off we are. But I think that often we hear anecdotes about permitting delays. I think the data would probably show that Minnesota is more in the middle of the pack. It's something we have been working on for a long time, and we are happy to work with anybody who wants to partner with us to make those decisions happen even faster.
And Leader Dimuth, maybe there's not much you can do at the state and county or the city and county level, but at the state level, would you like to see some streamlining?
I would like to see modernization and streamline of our permitting process. We know that we're losing businesses to other states because they can get it done faster. We lost a soybean crushing company from Crookston. They moved to Grand Forks just because they waited 16 months and they still couldn't get the permitting that they needed. But what I think we need to realize is that we do want clean air. We do want clean water, and we want jobs. So streamlining, not growing government, but reallocating our permitting within the government and making it happen faster is what businesses need in our state.
Senator Johnson.
Leader Dimuth, you stole my thunder. So the soy crush facility is right in my district, I live right in East Grand Forks, right on the North Dakota line. And to see businesses like Epitome Energy pick up and move 30 miles. That's a $400 million project. Think of what that does to the community that that's in. I mean, the school district, we're talking about school funding. Well, there's a way that we can do that. Otherwise, it falls on the property tax holders in there. The other one is, you know, Northeast Minnesota. We lost a mineral processing facility to North Dakota. And what's the reason that they constantly give? It's because our regulatory process is unlike any other across the nation. And they can go to a state like South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, wherever they need to go, and get assurances that they can get things done much more quickly, which leads investors and companies to go to those areas and leave our communities high and dry without those jobs, without that property tax increase, without any of those things.
Senator Dedzic, final word on this?
I think the government should be responsive and should be able to work with the companies that are coming in and asking for these permits and do it in such a way that it still protects consumers and it still protects the environment. So I think we just need to, I agree, we could continue to looking at how we streamline it.
Okay, thank you all for those responses. Lightning round, I know we're running a little bit behind, and I appreciate your sticking with us on this Minnesota Wild pregame show, which is essentially what this is, because I think they're dropping the puck right now, about 8:45. Let's go to the lightning round. And let's start with just some fun ones, then we'll get to more serious things, or as serious as we're going to get up here. Your favorite Minnesota sports team, and don't just say the Vikings because they're sitting out there, but it can be them if that's who you actually mean. Your favorite Minnesota sports team.
I'm sorry, it's the purple.
Okay.
The Vikings and anything my grandkids are playing.
Absolutely, the Vikings.
I went to the U of M, so I'm going to say the Gophers.
There we go. Very nicely done. Favorite Minnesota politician, past or present, and you can't name yourself. Speaker Hortman.
Hubert Humphrey.
Tim Pawlenty.
Knute Nelson.
Paul Wellstone.
Very nice. A sandy beach or playing in the snow?
God, that's tough. I'm having a cross-country ski party on Saturday, so I'll say playing in the snow.
A beach anytime.
I'll say the snow.
Well, you're from East Grand Forks. Of course you say that.
The snow.
The snow. All right. Now, on to more session-related topics. A nearly $18 billion surplus. And just, you can answer with one of these two phrases, and you don't need to explain. Are we taxed too much, or are we spending too little?
Taxed too much.
Senator Dziczek?
That's a good question.
And that, my friend, was a great answer. So you can't use that. Are we taxed too much or spending too little?
I would say we're more spending too little than taxed too much.
Definitely taxed too much.
I almost could have predicted some of those responses. Tax increases or tax cuts this session?
Tax cuts.
Both.
Huge tax cuts.
Both.
Walls checks or rebate checks, or no walls checks or no rebate checks, Senator Johnson?
Maybe.
The bill will be heard.
You know, I'm going to do even better than that. I think in some form we will see something that gets at child poverty, gets to families who need it.
More conversation on that one.
All right. Look at that. We're all over the board on that one. Now, asking you for a prediction. What's one item, it's actually two predictions. What's one item that will pass in the first month of session, no doubt about it, and what is one bill that will not pass in the first month that you think should? Speaker Hortman? The governor already let one of the cats out of the bag, so you can say what you want.
Well, tax conformity is moving like a rocket. We will also enshrine reproductive freedom in Minnesota law.
In the first month?
Correct.
Okay. Tax conformity, and we'll see.
Okay.
I think tax conformity, but it depends on how our committee structure ends up. We have proportionality.
And what's one thing that you think should pass but won't?
Is that a new...
Because you just said tax conformity you think will pass.
I think it will.
Now, what is one thing that won't pass in the first month that you think should?
Well, tax cuts is what we talked about earlier.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. And Senator Dziczek.
Tax conformity is moving very quickly, so I think that will pass. As Speaker Hortman said, protecting women's reproductive rights will pass. And what won't pass that should, I have a lot of personal ones that I would like to see pass
name
that
one.
Are just not going to. I think we should restore the vote, or we ban the box for corporations, we should ban the box for the government.
All right. Paid leave, a mandate on business or incentive?
Incentive.
I kind of like to do both, but again, I have all these small companies that they want to be able to compete, and so, you know, is it a mandate or is it an incentive?
It's like unemployment insurance. Everyone needs it.
Incentive.
What's the over-under on the number of weeks that might be involved? We're going to find out more about this bill tomorrow, I think. Will it be 12 or more like 24 weeks that we saw in a proposal last year for the amount of time for the paid leave? 12 or 24 weeks? Say 16. I don't
16.
Care what you say.
I haven't seen the language yet.
Okay, well, none of us have, but what do you think it should be, 12 or 24?
At least 12.
You know, I should know the answer to this question, but Ruth Richardson does. She's a great author, and she's going to get that bill across the finish line.
Whatever the incentive is will be what the businesses determine.
All right, we'll see what happens. What is one word, and you get one word, so I know I'm going to get a lot of phrases here, but I need one word, to describe how single-party control will fare for the DFL this session? One single word to describe how it's going to go. Senator Dietzick, I'll start with you.
Trifecta.
We're going to need more of an adjective.
Good.
A good trifecta, is that? Senator Johnson, one word to describe.
Risk.
Productive.
Interesting.
Very. What one topic will be the most controversial this year? One word answers. Senator Johnson.
Abortion.
Rules committee.
Did you say rules committee?
Yeah. Two words.
So you could, because it would have been two words if you said water bottles, so we couldn't use that one, but you'll know more about that when you read the paper tomorrow. And
cannabis.
Reproduction.
Okay, well, the cannabis one, I think you might be right there. Now, speaking of controversy, is this the year, and we heard the governor's take on this, that the Vikings will win a Super Bowl? Now, keep in mind, the Vikings and I were born in the same year. We have the same number of Super Bowl victories. So, is this the year the Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl?
See, I can't say that they will because that would jinx it. But I'm a believer.
You're a believer.
When they're in the Super Bowl game, I hope that they start playing the first quarter.
I kind of like when they just play the last 10 minutes because I can come in late. Yeah.
I would tend to agree with the speaker on this one. We can't say that they're going to win, but we really, really hope they do.
Okay. You're the closest to wearing purple tonight, so your thoughts?
I hope so.
All right. By the way, I went to the Vikings game in London, finished the London Marathon right at kickoff, and got to the game. And I got there for the fourth quarter. That was literally all I needed to see, if you remember that game. And that's the way every game since has been. So the odds that Minnesota has sports betting before the start of the 2023 Vikings season?
Better than 50-50.
All right.
It's being discussed in our caucus.
Give me some odds.
I would leave that up to Representative Garofalo.
He'll be happy to hear that.
Just the odds, not the decision, just the odds.
I'd say a little less than 50-50.
A little less than 50-50.
50-50.
All right. So our final question, if you're willing to share, what is your favorite go-to lunch spot when you're at the Capitol? Now, it doesn't have to be a place at the Capitol, because that would just be sad. So it can be, and I love the food service, don't get me wrong, but let's make it a place outside the Capitol. What is your favorite go-to lunch spot?
I always call it Salute, but I think it's Salute.
Yeah.
I always have a peanut butter sandwich in my backpack.
Wow. Wow, and I thought the cafeteria would be sad.
Never hungry?
Then I heard that. Let's all take a moment to reflect on that. All of your lives seem pretty good right now, don't they? Senator Johnson.
She's a true fiscal conservative. I like to see that. So, just like the governor.
Have you seen the price of peanut butter lately? You have not. You are so out of touch. Anyway.
Well, Burger Moe's on Monday nights is like $5 burger night, so that's where we got it.
There we go.
Well, I was with Senator Johnson having an eight-hour debate today, so didn't quite get to lunch.
Should have had a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I would have called you and could have used it.
You should share with her next time. Did you name a spot? Do you have a spot? Name a place in Northeast Minneapolis.
Well, we have so many restaurants. You can eat your way around the world in Northeast and Southeast.
You don't want to play favorites, do you? Because there's so many good spots. Okay, here is the final question. It is a sub-question to the one I just asked. If you had to pick one fellow legislator from your opposing caucus to take to that lunch spot, who would it be? This is like a really lame dating game. But let's start with you, Senator Johnson.
I'd pick Nick Frentz. We usually walk from from where we live anyways, so I'd just walk them over there. That'd be a great place.
Sounds like a bromance to me.
Oh, yeah.
Senator Dedzic.
That's a hard question.
That's why we ask him.
I was going to say, I'll take Senator Johnson.
Don't pick him. Pick someone else from the opposing cause. There's got to be someone.
Well, you know, Senator Housley and I can have a lot to talk about, so go with Senator Housley.
There we go.
Yeah, I was definitely going to say Lisa, but that seems like the, you know, boring answer
an
now.
Easy
but
answer.
I'm really looking forward to getting to work with a new minority leader and really looking forward to collaboration. So we haven't spent a lot of time together and looking forward to doing that.
Okay, so she is your pick. No, we don't want to put any pressure on you. Let's assume that would be your pick too, but let's make you pick someone else.
Okay, that would be my pick, but clearly nobody wants to have my peanut butter sandwich with me, so I feel a little bit bad about that. But I would say Representative Esther Abaje.
Okay, very nice. And just so you know, if you ever invite me to lunch, I will very cordially say no, I'm busy, because I don't really like peanut butter sandwiches anymore. But and I'd like to go out somewhere where, you know, maybe there's a beer available, but that's just me. Thank you, everyone. Let's have a round of applause for all of our panelists up here.